What an important night tonight, a baptism. So glad to be able to share this time. And I'm with, obviously, my wife Lillian, but I've invited a young man by the name of Mike to join us as well tonight to share his story and how God has touched his life and what God is doing in his life now. So I hope that'll be an encouragement to all, especially perhaps some of the younger people here, and certainly to those who are being baptized tonight as well. The story of God's changing a life and giving hope where there might not have been much hope before. I just wanted to turn quickly to Romans chapter 12. When I think about aftercare and New Life Prison Ministry, and I'm going to share a little bit of information about New Life Prison Ministry, but just in terms of the aftercare portion, which is what Lillian and I are mostly involved with, this is a verse that's become pretty important to me as I think about what our role as Christians is when it comes to men and women coming out of prison, people coming amongst us that perhaps we don't know, they're from a different place. I think too about refugees. What is our responsibility? How can we be doing what God wants us to do in their lives? But specifically about men and women coming out of prison who may have received Christ as their Savior in prison, or had fallen away from him before, got in trouble and went into prison, got reconciled, were reconciled with God and come out looking to start a new life. So Romans chapter 12, I'll start with verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And it's verse 13 I wanted to focus on. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The Lord is working in our prison system. Men and women are coming to Christ, and they are coming out of prison. And we as the church, if we're going to obey this instruction from the Lord, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And so I've been thinking about this verse a lot in terms of my responsibility and how I am to receive people coming out, and the church's responsibility as well, how we are to be a place of refuge for people, a place of rest for people, a welcoming place, a safe place for men and women who are seriously trying to make changes in their lives. We need to give them that chance and open our doors for them to do that. In terms of the New Life Report, I just wanted to, just for your encouragement, because this church is a supportive church, is a praying church, is a giving church. And so I just want you to know, in terms of New Life, that our report just came to us at the end of the year of the looking back over 2015, and so I'll share some of these numbers with you. So New Life Prison Ministry, with the help of a multitude of volunteers and dedicated staff, instructed 10,917 Bible correspondence courses. So those are courses coming out of the prisons. We may send many more in, but 10,917 completed Bible correspondence courses came back into our offices in Kingston, in Cambridge, and in Arva, Ontario. And those courses were all marked, instructed, counseled by, as it says, dedicated volunteers who then sent those back into the prisons to be received with a small certificate of success and good job, well done, to the inmate who had completed the course. That's a lot of Bible courses. God's word is going into the prisons. And so men and women are sitting in their cells, and they have their Bibles open. Could you imagine a better picture? They have their Bibles open, and they're studying God's word. Could we ask for anything more? We could ask God, and we will be asking God just through his Spirit to change lives, to transform lives as the students are doing that. We had an average of 794 students per month. So 794 as an average, students across Canada in different institutions are doing Bible correspondence courses at any one time. We saw 77 professions of faith and 13 people recommit their lives to Christ through the courses. Now, we haven't kept those numbers before, but I think it's instructive and it's encouraging for us to know. Now, do we know if those 77 were all true professions? We don't know that. But we hope it's true. At least they have opened a door to Christ in their life and they've understood that they needed him. And so that's encouraging. I think as we give, as we pray, as we maybe instruct courses, or maybe invite Tim to give a report, that those are encouraging things for us to know as we do those things. In the aftercare work, we have Dismas Fellowships, and I've talked about those last time. Ex-prisoner support and prayer and spiritual growth groups in Cambridge, London, in Woodstock, and that's where Mike goes, and also in the inside the women's prison at GVI, the Grand Valley Institute for Women. So we are allowed to go into the prison, run our course, and then those women will eventually, as soon as we're all cleared and they give us permission, we'll be able to come out, we'll be able to bring them out to our different Dismas Fellowships in Woodstock and Cambridge. It's a pretty big privilege for us to do that. So in these Dismas Fellowships groups, I just kind of put numbers together a little bit just for your encouragement. 65 to 70 men and women who have been in prison are involved in these Dismas Fellowship groups. 65 to 70. Any 1 month that goes by. Also in those Dismas Fellowship groups, we have about 35 to 40 volunteers also involved. So those are pretty important numbers. And God is being noticed as he does these works. I think in a place like Woodstock, the parole office knows about us and refers people to us. In different communities, the probation officers or parole officers know about us and are encouraging people to come and join us at our Dismas Fellowships. And God is growing a core of godly men and women working alongside me as volunteers. And that allows me more time to mentor, to dedicate to teaching, to sharing some of the things that God has taught me over the years. Just to tell one story of Sean. He's a guy who came out of prison. First of all, he was referred to me by the chaplain inside the prison. There's this young man, Tim, he told me, who has made a decision to receive Christ. He really seems eager to have a life change. He was involved with drugs quite heavily for a number of years and has been in and out of prison for a number of years as well. Just a young guy, about 23, 24 years old. But the chaplain identified him as somebody that I should meet with to help him when he comes out, because he was just about to get out. So I met with Sean twice while he was inside prison. And when he was released, he was going to a smaller community outside London. And it just so happened that God had provided a man who also had done some prison time, but has been recovered and walking with Christ now for about 5 or 6 years and is a good, strong Christian, who lives in that same small community. So I called this fellow up and I said, his name is also Tim. I said, Tim, would you mind trying to connect with this fellow and meet together with him for a coffee and just encourage him and talk to him and find out what his needs are when he comes out? So he did that. And they have since become very good friends. This young man, Sean, is now going to Tim's church, has now become a member of the church and has been baptized in the church in the past few months. He has a drug problem. And he's been struggling and fighting against it. So he actually went into rehab, into a treatment program for the first time in his life, taking it seriously, trying to get the help he needs. He has been clean now. It's been 4 months since he came out, and he's been clean of any drugs or alcohol for 4 months. So he did the one program. He's been involved in men's groups and prayer breakfasts and the church meetings. And he comes to our Dismas Fellowship in London. He's come to two of those. And he has now gone into another rehab program, and this one's for 6 months. And he says, Tim, he says, I've been clean from drugs. I don't know if I need this. And I said, go, because you're going to learn tools there. And when you come out, though, I want you to come here and be beside me and be a person who can help somebody else going through the same kind of situations. And so that's where he is, and he's really excited. He sends me text messages every day from the rehab center telling me how the day's gone, and I'm clean today, and this is what I learned today, and I can't wait to get back so I can start helping other people. But that's what aftercare is all about. It's being there when a person comes out of prison to be able to encourage them, to follow through in those decisions that they made while they were in prison. I was talking to somebody, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, who had done quite a bit of time in prison, and he did say to me, He reiterated something that I'd heard before from somebody else. He said, when we're in prison, Tim, he said, we do want to change. We don't like where we are, and we don't want to stay here. We don't want to come back again. He says, but when we come out, it's so hard to make that adjustment if we don't have the supports that are available. And so with New Life Prison Ministry, that's what we want to do. And God is, I'm so thankful to what God has done to be able to see this happening. So I want to talk a little bit about Mike just before he comes up. And interesting, you talked about Cornerstone, because Mike is a bricklayer. he can let us know. So I met Mike actually the first time at EMDC. He was one of our New Life Prison Ministry students inside the jail. And we had a couple of meetings inside, I guess, didn't we? A few of them. Just to talk about what his hopes for coming out, to talk about what maybe some of the challenges might be as he was coming out. And I won't tell his story. I'll let him tell his story. But I will say that Mike is in process, just like I'm in process. Just like each one of us here is in process. God is working in our hearts and lives. And as we give ourselves to him and open ourselves up to him, he does his work in us and changes us and helps us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So Mike is in that process. He hasn't arrived yet, just like I haven't arrived. But I'm encouraged by Mike. I'm encouraged by what God is doing in his life. He's not a new father, but his second child was just born 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Yeah, so he may look a little tired today, but that's why. So I want to invite Mike to come up and share his story with all of us, how God has worked in him and what he's doing now with himself. And then I'll just come back to close off a little bit. Okay? Thanks, Dad.
Hello, thanks for having me here tonight. I'd like to start off at the beginning, I guess. So my parents were good parents at the very start when we were really young kids. And my dad ended up coming across a lot of money. And that money kind of corrupted him and kind of just tore our family apart and gave us kind of a bad role model to look up to. We started noticing like drugs coming into the house, strange people coming into the house. He would beat my mom until she was hospitalized for 2 months straight. And that's what me and my two brothers kind of grew up like watching. So that was our kind of role model. And we've seen the trafficking of drugs that he used to do between friends. So that's something we learned at a young age that we kind of wanted to do. And as we grew older, we just kind of adapted that bad habit passed on from our father. And it turned out that at the time I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed the power. I enjoyed the money that came from selling drugs. And I used to have guns. I used to traffic guns to the street. I used to sell drugs to firefighters, police officers, military police, all sorts of people from different levels. And I was very violent. I didn't really care about anybody. I felt heartless, like emptiness, almost like I was pure evil, I felt like. And it was almost like I felt like I didn't have a soul. And when I was 16, I started stealing cars, getting into trouble. That was my first charge where I did a little bit of time for. The more I got away with things, the better I got at being a criminal and the more I enjoyed that type of lifestyle. When I grew up, 18, 19, 20s, I ended up selling girls and hiring them and feeding them drugs to keep them working. And I ended up moving to an apartment building. I rented out all the apartments to my other workers so they could traffic guns amongst the streets. And it just destroyed so many lives because that's how rotten of a person I was. And I started going doing some heavy time when I was about 18. I had an armed robbery where I shots were fired out in a high-speed chase. And luckily that my father had so much money, I got off of it only serving 2.5 years instead of 10 because he paid a lot of money for a lawyer. So that's what I looked at too, is that, you know, I could keep going because if I got in trouble, I could just pay my way out of it kind of thing. And I ended up, I had this girlfriend that's now almost my wife this year for a long time, and she's been through this whole thing. We ended up having Landon, who's 5 years, and I ended up going back to prison again for about 18 months. It wasn't a long time that time, but none of these times I ever had anybody reach out to me or any calling. My mind was still set on I just wanted to be a gangster type person. And I just wanted to continue on with my life. Well, the third big time I was in jail, I lost my wife. She moved in with somebody else. I wasn't allowed to see my kid. I was looking at some heavy time. And eventually, I just broke down. We were on lockdown the one day, I remember. And I was just so crushed. I just lost everything. I was looking at a very long time in jail. And this was probably my weakest and at the bottom of the barrel in my entire life. And I ended up breaking down and crying on the floor in my isolated cell and just begging for this God person. And I just said, God, whoever you are, like, come into my life now. I need you. I don't know what I've done with my life. I just want you to take control of my life. Forgive me for what I've done. And what happened was I felt like an overwhelming, like, loving embrace almost, like a spirit just around me. And I felt like a peace and a comfort just surround me. And I prayed and I said, just show me what I have to do and I will do it. So what happened was we actually got unlocked and we weren't supposed to from our cells that day. And I went out, library cart came. I thought to myself, I don't need a book or anything, but I'll go out. Something pushed me to go out and look at the library cart. Well, what I found there was an AA book, and I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, so I was like, okay, let's check out this AA book, and I read it, underlined it, and studied it, and, you know, it relates to, you know, your higher power, which, you know, so I kept getting interested in this, and I'm just like, who is this God that they're talking about? Well, the next time the library came around, I ended up grabbing a Bible because, you know, I wanted to know who this God person is. And I did what I did to that AA book, to that Bible, and I underlined it. I circled all my favorite passages, and I read it over and over time and time again. And I seen this one guy, Dan, he was in for murder, and he was doing these Bible study courses from New Life Prison Ministry. I said, what was that? It was a Mending's Heart course he was reading, the first one that they have. And I said, well, where do I get me one of those? And I ended up getting one from the chaplain, and I started off doing the Bible studies there. I think I completed about eventually 26 Bible studies or through New Life, and then about 15 through another Bible study course thing that we did. And I would do them right on the range, and you don't really see people do it on the range too much, but I was a little bigger than the other guys, so and no one really argued about it too much to me, a little bit, and then, I just coming closer and closer the more I did the Bible studies to God, and I just grew like an incredible passion just for coming closer to Him and just loving Him and wanting to be like Him. So I started meeting up with certain individuals that were volunteers from New Life and talking to them and working things out. And it was my whole life started, even when I was in prison, for once in my life, I was actually free. I was actually free of all the chains that have burdened me through all my whole life, all the torment and all the self-destruction and all the destruction of everything else. I just felt it was lifted from me, like God took it all away and that everything was going to be okay for once in my life. So I met Tim, and Tim also helped me with aftercare. I've never really been to church other than church in jail, so it was good. And I was scared when I went to church because I was like, I'm a bad guy, like I can't be going here. And it was uncomfortable because I didn't know anyone. And he kept encouraging me, keep going. And it took a while. I think it took like 8 months of me going to that church to finally get reached out to. But now the people that we met up with there, we just love them like family. And with the one thing I was regretting recently is just with my one son, Landon, in his birth, I actually missed it. I got arrested 3 days later, and I missed the birth because I was too busy stealing a trailer and a car and doing drugs in the hospital. I actually got kicked out for his birth. So that's haunted me for a long time, too. And with this new life that God's given me, you know, I never thought it would happen, but I was able to watch the birth of Noah and actually have the blessing to be able to be a good man for him and a good father and a good Christian role model for him. And it was a different experience. A lot of tears were shed because I missed my first son's birth, and God gave me a second chance and a new life to be able to do this, and He forgave me. So it was wonderful, and my wife was even more loving about it because she's like, you're a wonderful man, and it wasn't like I got kicked out of the hospital like I did with the first one. So now I'm involved in Dismas meetings. I'm a pretty good gatherer type person, so I do my runarounds and try picking up as many people. I also volunteer at the River of Life, so I do a kind of leadership reflection there now. And on top of that, we never thought me and my wife could get married, like I call her my wife because we've been together 10 years, but I never thought me and my future wife would be able to get married, and one of the churches is going to help us throw the wedding, so we get married June 11th. So these are some of the things that are happening that I never thought could have happened in my entire life, and I owe it all to God. And I owe it all to a lot of support that I have. There's three people from New Life that I contact all the time because I still get crazy problems, and sometimes I want to do things that aren't really right thing to do, but I have a lot of support, and I can always rely on them. I've never heard Tim give me a wrong answer before, and if he doesn't know the answer, he'll go out and find the answer before he tells me it, and that's really cool stuff. So I don't know where I would have been without the help of those Bible studies in jail, with the people reaching out of those Bible studies in jail. And I owe a lot to them, and I owe a lot to God, and I'm so grateful to this day for everything I'm given. Thank you for listening to me, guys.
That's an encouraging story, eh? That's such an encouragement to me and to others. We handed out some of these little prayer things. And so I just wanted to go over that a little bit with you tonight. Prayer is just so critically important. And, you know, Michael's story is one story, and it's a tremendous story of God's grace working. And, you know, it's our prayers. It's our prayers that open those doors that make that happen. And so I just really want to encourage you, if God puts it on your heart, to pray for New Life Prison Ministry. Here's some things you can pray. I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. In the prayer for New Life Prison Ministry, continued fruitfulness as lives are changed through the Bible correspondence courses. Those Bible correspondence courses going into the prisons are powerful, and they make a difference. And so I would just encourage you and invite you to pray that as God's word goes into the prisons, and as men and women open those courses and study, that God's Spirit would be powerfully working in their hearts and lives and opening their eyes to see the truth of His love and His grace, and the new life that he's willing to offer and wants to offer. I want to also highlight the encouragement for office personnel and for all involved. We have a lot of volunteers at New Life. There's over 70, 80 volunteers involved in different, in aftercare, some also in the courses, instructing courses. And I just would highlight that we pray for those instructors, for those volunteers, and for the staff in the office, that they just be encouraged that as they serve God in that role, whatever role they have, that they would also deepen in their faith and see Him working in their lives as well. So just encouragement for them. And then just a general one that I always put in there, for men and women in prison across Canada, whether they're doing our Bible correspondence courses or not, that this will be their opportunity to turn their lives around. That this time will be the last time they go to prison. That this time will be the time when they understand how much they need God. We talked about it this morning, that they will be broken. That they will learn what poverty of spirit is, and that they will turn to God in their poverty to be saved. And then for Lil and I, it's a daily prayer of mine that God give me wisdom, that God give us wisdom as we deal with people coming out of prisons, each one individual, each one different, each one with different challenges, each one with different circumstances. I'm learning so much every day from the people that God brings into my life. That God would give us wisdom as we seek to serve men and women coming out of prison. For time management, for ourselves, to learn how to manage our time. And that God give us the words for effective, godly counseling for people. That we remember that what we're doing is not social work. It's God's work. It's spiritual work. Sometimes it involves some social work, some helping people find things and get things that they don't know where they are, or to get some practical help like that. But our hearts are that we have a chance to talk about Jesus and point people towards Him. Also pray for men and women to be raised up to lead in the aftercare, to mentor men and women ex-prisoners coming out of prison. As the work grows, there are more and more people who are requiring somebody to come alongside them, to be their friend, to share time with them. I've got a few really good ones who are involved with me and that I can trust and just say, you know, Theo, would you check out on such and such a person? I just got a letter from him, and he lives in Hamilton, and I don't live in Hamilton, so you do, because you'll be able to just go call him and go out for a coffee with him. And I've got a few people like that that I can call at any time to do that. And maybe there's somebody here in Listowel who who would like to learn how to be a mentor for an ex-prisoner. And if there is, feel free to talk to me afterwards, and I'll make sure that I come and meet with you and talk about it. And right now I don't have any men or women that I know that have come out of prison and are looking for supports in Listowel, but you never know, I might get a letter tomorrow. Wouldn't that be amazing? So if somebody might be interested in how God might be able to use them in that role as a mentor or friend to somebody in prison, just talk to me about it, and we'll see if we can get together. And then the last one, just for our family, as I said this morning, Lil's father died on January 8th. So Lil's mother is still here. She has some challenges in front of her, both physical and mental. And so that also is a concern for us. And Lil's brothers are non-Christians as well. So through this whole process that we see God work and provide for Lil's mother, but also for her non-Christian brothers. And then for our children as well. Would you remember, please, to pray for our children that they would glorify God through their lives? They're all in different places in their spiritual journey as well. Some in better shape than others. We have 3 children. But we just continue to pray for them on a daily basis that God will be glorified in their lives and in the way he works in them. So I would, again, just thank you for the invite today and for the chance to share some of these prayer requests with you. But let's just pray for Mike before we finish. How's that? Okay? Father, I just, again, just want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that no matter how far we run from you or how far we feel that we are from you or how rotten we feel about ourselves, that you still love us and you still want to move into our lives and change us and transform us and give us hope and peace and freedom in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Every day we need them. Thank you for Michael. We just want to pray for him as he and his wife have just experienced the birth of a new baby. We just pray for them for strength. Help them, Lord, to be good parents to their 2 children. And help them, Father, to raise those boys in the fear of the Lord. To be young men who want to honor Christ in their lives. Thank you, God, that the cycle that Michael experienced through his father, that cycle can be broken, has been broken by your grace, and that he can be a different man and a different father to his children. So we just pray your blessings on their lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through New Life Prison Ministry. And I just pray, God, that you would be glorified in the work that we do, in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.